Today's episode has been brought to you by BlueApron.com.
You know, after the holidays,
what?
After that wonderful turkey that I put together thanks to the extra recipes that were sent to me with the last box of Blue Apron, I thought, it's not going to get any better than this.
Wait,
this is too
good. Used a Blue Apron recipe for Thanksgiving?
Girl, let me tell you. But
tell
anyway,
me.
So after that, I was like, no more. That's it. That's the end of my life, right?
Yeah.
But then I got this baked tilapia and creamy kale with fregola sarda pasta.
Ambish.
Girl.
You are living.
So good.
Ya es cantante.
La cantante calva. La cantante calva.
So, you know, I made a quiche today, mm-hmm. thanks to BlueApron.com.
A quiche?
Mira, me mandaron todas las quiche things in a box.
Uh-huh.
And I put them together. Sas, 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 yakusas, yakusas. And, oh my God, I made two quiches, actually.
You know what?
And I ate them both.
If I would have eaten it, my mesa would have been la mesa que más aplauda.
No, bitch. Yes. Man, Blue Apron comes through. And you know, I travel a lot, mm-hmm. and I downloaded the app, and it's super easy to reschedule your meals. So like, say you're out of town for 1 week, and then it'll come the next week. So shout out to Blue Apron for having an app.
And you know what else?
Tell me.
Blue Apron is treating Latinos Who Lunch listeners to their first dinner at $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/latinos. So check out this week's menu and get your $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/latinos. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Ooh! Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
de poste calinda de pezón erecto de zapote prieto.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kishow, kishow, kishow.
How are you doing?
I am in a singing mood this
Oh, yes.
afternoon.
She is singing on high.
You know, after that Miley Cyrus song, I'm all about it.
Oh, my God.
And Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Underrated Kelly Clarkson.
You know what? Yes, let's
I'm
talk about that.
Say it.
Yes.
Kelly Clarkson is the shit, okay?
I'm loving her more and more every day.
I don't care. I'm gonna say it. I love Kelly Clarkson.
Oh,
and you know, I hope she makes the best comeback ever. People are hating on her for no damn reason.
I don't know. People are stupid.
Anyway, so we went to karaoke today for some UNLV.
Shout out Susie.
Yes, Susie Newberry. And then before that, we went to a DACA rally here. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Carla Rodriguez and Erika Castro, who were on our episode titled No Mas White Tears.
Yes.
They're going to start their own podcast soon.
Oh, I can wait.
And shout out to the lady that made the tamales, because they were the bomb.net.
Dude, and that champurrado.
Ugh.
But let me tell you, like,
what?
This was the perfect tamal in between your Central American tamales and my Northern Mexico tamales. They were moist and spicy y llenos de carne. ¡Ay! Dijo la otra.
I ate the cheese ones, and they were amazing. They were the right size. You're right. They weren't too small. You know, because sometimes they make them too small.
Yeah.
Which is good in a...
It sometimes it's like a fucking block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Oh,
my God. Anyway, what did you do this weekend, Babalekis?
So this weekend, we had an amazing weekend in LA, because, you know, that's what we have to do. Our friend Crystal Ramirez, we've been talking about going to LA to go see some of the shows from Pacific Standard Time LA, which is a series of exhibitions that are happening in 70 different institutions, all related to Latin American art, Latinx art, Chicano art, and its relationship with California. So we got to see Radical Women at the Hammer Museum. How amazing was that?
It was really good. It was a lot, but it was really good.
It was a lot.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
Like, I've seen it twice. I could see it one more time.
Yeah.
It's just so much.
I could spend the whole day there.
And then we got to see your lowrider sculpture at the Peterson Automobile Museum. That was very cool to see. Mm-hmm. We got in for free because you're a fucking celebrity.
I'm not.
And then we went to see, we went to the Folk Craft Museum and we got to see a show on border art.
The Folk and Craft Museum?
Yes, and that was so interesting. I don't want to get into it because I'm going to get mad.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah,
interesting, yes. We'll talk about it in another episode.
Okay.
And then we went to an opening of Patrick Martinez's Neon Art. That was pretty cool. And that was at the Vincent Price Museum.
Yes.
Y luego, the following day after, you know, we went to visit the Scum family and had so much fun. We got a private tour of Axis Mundo, Queer Networks in Chicano LA, which that was my recommendation in the Julio Salgado episode. But so we got a private tour by one of the artists, Joey Terrell. And Joey Terrell was amazing. He gave us a detailed tour of everything in the exhibition for like como una hora y media, güey. It was a gift.
That was really amazing.
Yes.
Like I was, yeah, it was just amazing. One of the artists in the show giving you a tour of this thing. It was just too much.
Girl, when you go up the stairs, yes, you see his big picture. I know. Estaba joven. It was amazing. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rudy, for having us at Chico and everybody at Chico and everybody at
and shout out everywhere. Shout out to our friend Kyla. Who?
Oh my God, Kyla's down. She's down.
Yes, our friend Kyla, who came out to us to Scum, and like we started singing all these songs in Spanish. She was like, "How do you guys know these songs?"
Yeah, and Crystal had a really good point.
What?
Crystal is like, we don't get to hear the songs everywhere. Like, so we have very few spaces where if we listen to fucking Enanitos Verdes or whatever, you know, we get excited. Yeah. That's why we're like euphoric. Like dancing and singing and
yeah.
Anyway,
it was also really cool to hang out with Maite from CYC,
yes.
Cabronas y Chingonas podcast.
Yeah. Maite es el amor de mi vida.
Ah, ya cálmate.
Ay.
So, just really quick, I want to make an announcement. I mean, you've already heard the bonus episode we came out with yesterday. If you are in the Miami area, are you're out there for the art fairs, I am part of Untitled Art Fair, and so is Latinos Who Lunch. We're part of Untitled Radio. So we're going to be on the radio, I believe, on Saturday, December 9th at 2:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You can tune in. It's Wynwood Radio. You can go to wynwoodradio.com and listen live.
Damn, we made it, girl. We made it.
We made it. We're an online internet.
Damn.
Online internet. Online internet radio. I'm also, full disclosure, I'm drunk right now. So that's what happens when I go to karaoke and I'm expected to sing. I have to drink at least 3 beers to do it. So.
Party in the USA.
Oh, you're exposing me, bitch. Anyway, today we're bringing you our last interview from Austin, Texas. And it's with our dear friends, Coca y Greñas, who are been longtime listeners of Latinos Who Lunch. It was just so awesome to get their story. And it was just so nice to hang out with them there, too.
Yeah. And Greñas is a badass DJ. Oh,
oh my God.
So good.
Oh, yeah. We threw a surprise party for Babelekis, and he was the DJ at that party. It was so fun.
It was so much fun.
And then at the end of the episode, make sure you stick around because, you know, we always read a listener letter. But this time, we actually are doing a special phone call because of a listener. So
yes,
stick around.
Diddly, 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 diddly.
Hey, y'all, it's Favi Fav, and I'm here again at the Museum of Human Achievement with some more friends. I made so many amazing friends here in Austin, Texas, and two of my faves are here right now, Coca and Greña. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Hola, hola.
Probando, probando. Probando. Los tres.
¿Qué paseo?
So, Coca and Greñas, I met them here at the Museum of Human Achievement for an event because they were volunteering, because they are essential parts of the Austin community. I've been really happy to get to know them over the past couple of weeks. And I wanted to bring them on here so they could share their story and talk about Austin and how they got here. So, yeah, let's get to it. Where are you guys from? How did you guys meet? Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going?
I don't know. Don't give me that pressure. We're from Monterrey, Mexico.
Uh-huh.
I'm a U.S. citizen as well because of my family. But we've been living here for almost seven years. Yeah.
Almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got here like at 2010?
Yes.
Okay.
We left Mexico September the 30th. But we spent a few nights in Houston just partying before arriving here.
With a very friend, very good friend in Houston, Big Montemayor,
aka
George West. Thanks.
Brought to you by, pero you guys met in Monterrey.
In Monterrey, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We have friends in common,
uh-huh.
and our friends were very outgoing, and in one of those outdoor activities, we went to Las Luchas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we met there. We were like, I don't know, like 20 people maybe. And it was like just hanging out. It was called Martes Nice.
Mm.
So only the very nice people of Monterrey would go there and could promo some beer.
Just the jet set.
Yeah, yeah.
And was it love at first sight or qué pasó?
No, actually, we were like, we just clicked the same night we met, we talked about moving in together, but we were thinking only as friends. Like, we were like, oh, yeah, yeah, like, we like the same stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, same music, same, like, we were talking about just random stuff. And like, I like it too. Oh, I like this. I like too. And like, okay, it will be good to move together.
Yeah. And, but, so, yeah, we were best friends for a while, and,
That's crazy. The first time you met each other, you're like, let's move in together.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, why? it took us a while, but then...
Yeah, right, like, right now, it's like, hey, I'm looking for a roommate. It's hard to find a roommate.
Yeah.
Back in the day, 10 years ago, it was like... No, I mean, more than 10, I don't remember.
It's like 2015, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, I think we met in 2015.
No, four.
I mean, 2005. My goodness. Yeah.
Like 2 years ago?
Half a year.
No, never mind.
Yeah, I just realized like, hey, it's so hard to find a good roommate at that point. We were like, hey,
yeah,
we could be a good roommate, but we didn't have a place. Like,
or money.
Yeah, or money or something. But like, okay, it's time to find a permission
of my mother.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Mexicans be like...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're like, what?
Like, you need your permission from your mother. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, not for something else.
So then you ended up together.
Yes.
And then what made you move to Austin, Texas?
Because I'm a musician.
Uh-huh.
How do you say this?
In air quotes, musician.
How do you say this?
Yeah.
I'm a musician. I'm a drummer.
Yes.
And so we like art, music, and... back in the day, the 7-8 years ago, it was a hard moment for me. I lose a few gigs. I lost my car in an accident. I didn't forget
like
the car.
Dude, where's my car?
Where's my car? No, in an accident. So after that we took the decision like, let's try it because she offered me the opportunity to become a resident.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, like we thought Austin was great because like I studied art back in Monterrey but I've been working in arts and music as a promoter since I can remember. So when we were thinking about moving to the States, I was like, what's a good, friendly city that would help him learn English? Because he could understand a bit, but he didn't really speak any English. And something that it's friendly with musicians, that we can expand our creative wishes or whatever, like just the careers.
Yeah.
So we were looking for a good spot where we could do that. And we visited Austin and we fell in love. Everyone, like, we went to a museum and there was like a security guard and we were talking to her and she was like, where are you from? And you guys should move in here. Like, this is fantastic. And then we went to our a pizza place and the people, like the pizza makers were singing and we were like, dude, even like a random job, people are seem to be happy. Like,
but yeah, fun fact is like in that travel when we were scouting a place to live, that was 2007. Mm-hmm. Let's say that, and everybody was so welcoming. Like, hey, you should move here. You should move here. And now there are like I don't know if you've seen those souvenir stuff.
The stores and stuff?
And they have phrases in the t-shirt like, oh, like, you like Austin? Okay, but don't move here.
Yeah.
Because it's
too crazy.
Because 10 years ago was completely different here.
Completely.
Yeah. And I'm saying we were the first to get here, but it's like now it's
serious.
It's a lot of people. And yeah, even the souvenirs. They talk about that.
Yeah, like, please don't move here.
Yes, but we loved it back then and still now. Of course, moving here was really hard. We didn't, like, we only saw the good stuff and didn't realize that moving to a city where music is the main thing, you'll have a hard time finding
Well,
stuff.
As a promoter, you're like, that's going to be great. But then as a musician, because there's so many musicians, the gigs probably don't pay as much as... they do somewhere else, right?
Yeah, exactly. And people sometimes pay to play. And were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you don't know about that? Okay.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Exactly. And he's he's a professional. So it's not like, I have a new garage band that I'm trying to put out there. Yeah. Like, I get it. But no, like a professional musician really struggles here.
So you pay to play so that people hear you and then maybe you get a gig from that,
because apparently I learned this on tour and we have a few bad nights and I was asking the guys like, hey, like why we got this show in the middle of nowhere, because we pay the promoter, like, what and why, if you're paying her, it was a lady, if you're paying her, I didn't understand at that point. And I was like, okay, this is serious. It's like, I'd rather pay for a good show. Because, yeah, that's the way it is. Payola, I think. It's the new payola.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's weird for me.
Yeah.
Because they're good musicians and they were a good band. We were a good band at that time.
Yeah.
And I can understand if you're new, like, hey, I want to play this place. I will pay to play in this place. But, okay, probably I'm wrong, but it sounds wrong for people that they probably don't know about the music business.
Yeah.
It's like, but...
to me, it's like an artist paying a curator to put them in a show. But then it could also be looked at like, you're renting a wall and you're putting your artwork on it, which is depending on the venue, you know?
And I'm saying, like, I'm okay, but I want to play for the good crowd that you have in your book.
Yeah,
and they can tell you like, it was a bad night. Like,
sure.
I already paid.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
That's my
accountability. Like, if I'm gonna pay you, somebody they better show up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You better do your job as a promoter.
Yeah, and not even the promoters, because they're virtual promoters. Like, and I was like, where's the lady? Like, no, she's from New Mexico. And like, hey, we're touring on the East Coast. Like,
hello.
Why don't you get a local?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I'm the old one, and I was the old one.
You have to catch up to what's going on now.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was hard at first, but we're out and we go and try to get involved with the community and stuff. And I volunteer at several places, such as Moja. I work with them for the artist residency.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy with that. And that gives me access to amazing people. And Austin is a good town for that. Like, even when people usually hate networking and stuff.
Yeah.
In here, it's easy. You just go for drinks and meet people. Yeah, I'm
my
sorry.
God. I am like, every day I'm out somewhere and I'm rolling my eyes like, oh my God, how cool. Like, every day I've gone out and had lunch or going and had beers with somebody.
Yep.
Because this town is like all about that. It's yep. very social here.
A lot. Right?
And you are part of that. Thank you yes. so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Because I know you have Proyecto ATX, right? Yes. Projecto ATX.
Projecto,
yeah. Yeah. On Instagram, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me a little bit about that.
Well, That started back in Mexico. It was called Get Your Gig.
Oh,
and
cool.
And basically we knew a bunch of different artists. We knew a lot of talent that were somehow stuck, and we had enough experience to know what's next. And maybe they had to change their attitude. Maybe they had to know how to do stage or blah blah blah. So what we decided to do was what I baptized as a band incubator.
Okay.
So small bands that had potential, we would go, we will help them and prepare an input list, set list, stage, blah, blah, blah. Like we would put them in contact with people and so just to grow them. And we did the yeah. same with artists. And because, yeah, we have a bunch of experience. We were like, let's just help good people out. And because of the all moving and stuff, that stopped for a few years. But now that I'm back in the game, that I know more people, we translated it to the Proyecto. Uh-huh. That it's a little bit more towards art, but we do the same with musicians and social. So, yeah, we basically love talent. And I get really excited when I meet talented people, and that, yeah, I can sell a bunch of stuff. Yeah, just because I get excited and I'm like, oh my God, you should know these people or you should yeah. connect or whatever. So, yeah, that's basically the Proyecto. It's an effort to help and to grow good, talented people. And right. we try to generate projects. We try to connect, facilitate, like be there to have your next big step
yeah.
In the career.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even before I met you, I was at a bar and I saw an art exhibit inside
yeah.
of a bar at the Yellow Jacket.
Yes.
And then I went there with you and I didn't realize that, oh, you're the one that curated that art show that I had already seen, which was
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, it's yeah. a vegan cannibal. Uh-huh. It's a good friend from Mexico City and he was able to come and he brought some art that it's really, really cool. Actually, like now with the earthquake that happened in yeah. Mexico, he drew have you seen any social media about it? Like there's this puppies that have yeah. been rescuing people. Well, he drew them and he's been tattooing those designs, and all of the proceeds go
to
different associations that work and donate that. So it's just like I'm telling you, like good yeah. people, good talented people, and yeah. and yeah, I just love it. And yeah, he was here, he was having fun, he did some music and gifts plus the art that you saw. And yeah, we're just tattoos. Pushing in tattoos.
Yeah. So let's talk about the music scene here. I mean, there's always amazing music happening all over yeah. the place. Greñas, you're part of probably a couple bands, right? And I know that you're also a DJ.
Yeah.
You showed your skills the other day, and I was very DJ in quotes.
Yeah, DJ.
No, you can at least mix songs together.
Yeah, okay,
that's
thank you.
The bare the very important bare minimum. Because there's some DJs in town. I'm not going to name any names, but good Lord. I'm like, come on, that's just called a playlist,
yeah.
you know? That's,
yeah.
that's not DJing.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm just going to put it out in the world right now because, you know, Oprah, manifestation.
Yes. Thank you.
We want Latinos Who Lunch wants Greñas to come DJ in Las Vegas.
Okay. Count with me.
And that's going to happen next year. So,
yes.
Okay.
So keep your ears open.
That's we're gonna a have, deal.
That's a deal.
They're we're gonna get,
take a picture of
for Proyecto ATX.
Yeah,
yeah. We're gonna get you in Vegas,
okay.
And we want you to DJ
cool.
one of our first parties.
Thank you very much. I sure. appreciate that. Yeah,
because Pavelito and I were in love with your aww. Set when you were doing cool. it at the house party we were at. It was awesome, yeah. and it was just super awkward because you're trying to be respectful porque you know we're with a bunch of güeros.
No querían el ruido fuerte.
Sí, no querían el ruido fuerte, but I was like, turn it up. Every time I came in the house, I was like, turn it up.
Yeah,
so good.
Next time it's gonna be loud.
Yes, yes. So okay, so tell me about your hustle. What do you where? I know that you're with a band that does reggaeton, you said?
Okay, yeah. I play, since I moved to Austin, yeah. I got this gig with these guys, Monos, Monos band. We're a Latino band.
Yeah.
We play weddings, quinceañeras, Mexican restaurants. And back in Mexico, I used to do just cover bands, entertainment.
Yeah.
And when I got here, I was talking with these guys, like, hey, we should do this kind of stuff. So when we're playing live, I am the musical director, and I'm mixing the whole mm-hmm. night. So then I realized, like, okay, I'm gonna try to be a DJ just with the laptop or my samplers.
Yeah.
Then I got doing that on streets. Like 6 years ago, I was doing this performance on streets. And then I got hired for parties because they were like watching a street artist, like, do you play in
yeah.
party? Like, and I was like, yes, please. I'm trying to get those ones.
But yeah. I have to mention that he did the DJ, like he was mixing live, but at the same time, he had a drum set. So it's a live drum set with yeah. like percussions and the DJ set. So it's kind of a live music thing, and it's so entertaining. And yeah, he did it on the street, like the whole drum set, like next to a food truck. It was very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And since then I've been doing that. Thank you for that. Yeah, because I didn't say that. Yeah, I didn't say that. Yeah. Like, so my main thing when I'm DJing, it's like I can play percussions at the same time. And I used to run visuals also. Like it's
yeah,
like,
he got cocky and he run visuals with VCR, two VCRs, while drumming and doing that.
Analog BJ.
They must have loved it here.
It was good. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, like, as I say, like, musicians be like, I can do that. Like, okay, try it. Like, and I was doing it on the streets. So now, yeah, now there's a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's okay. I moved the table.
Get out. This interview is over.
Yeah. I told you to don't touch
the table. Like Babelito.
But yeah, and then as an actual drummer, I've been doing several bands, and I'm glad I did that after being just speaking Spanish. I learn English. I got auditions. I played for a few bands, and now I'm kind of slowing down and committed to Como Las Movies, which is a Chicano psychedelic cumbia nuevo wave.
Cool.
And Monos, which is the one that gets me
the steady gigs.
Real income.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
So how important was it for you to speak English? Because I know that depending on what city you are, sometimes you can get by. Like, I know when I was in Miami, I was in parts of Miami que nadie hablaba inglés. Yeah. And it was fine.
Sí.
Because no matter what business you're in, and you're in a bunch of, I mean, Latino bands, but still it's necessary.
Here in Austin, it's not.
Okay.
But I got on tour in 2011.
Uh-huh.
It was like a two-month tour with Americanos.
Uh-huh.
And I had to. I was just asking, like, how do you say this? And pointing, like, how do you say this? Like, the table.
On the job training, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. When I got back, Coca was like, what? Like, now you're speaking. Like, yeah, I had to.
Yeah.
Because I was, like,
a huevo.
East Coast, and we were Virginia, like, non-Spanish spoken places.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, but when we first moved here, like, I would go with him to the auditions to she translate because he could understand a little bit, but it was like nothing. And
I was like, diles que quiero tanto dinero y que quiero tanto. And they were like, oh, fuck yeah. We don't have that money. Like,
get out of here.
Worth it. Yeah.
But I'm a real professional. I'm real professional.
Yeah.
No, but like,
so
but
is
yeah.
everybody else.
I know.
Gosh.
No, but it was like now he corrects me and I'm super proud. Like because at the beginning I was like, no, we won't have Univision or Telemundo in this house. Like you're gonna learn Spanish and every TV. I mean, yeah, English. Well, Spanish it would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I was like, we have to do this, and he took actually, it too hard too. Like no, like I can. Like why wouldn't I?
When I didn't have the chance to have a real job.
Yeah,
I was practicing just because at that point we didn't have money or a car, but we have a good apartment and DirecTV or something.
Yeah,
like because Coca is a TV person.
Yeah,
so I was the one watching TV, but because I didn't have anything to do, but it was with the captions.
Para leer las and, letras.
Leyendo. The Everybody Hates Chris, the King of Queens, because yeah. they repeat the episodes. It's funny and probably nobody listened. I haven't nunca había dicho esto.
I have never said this before,
but it's like once I remember the episode, like okay, it's coming. Okay.
So now you understand. Okay.
Because they're acting and they're doing, they're grabbing a cup and like, hey, I don't like this drink. Like,
yeah.
So he said, I don't like this drink.
Yeah.
And it was weird, but it was repetitive.
Yeah.
It's like a school.
Yeah, totally. I think that's how I learned how to speak English when I was a kid, because I just spoke Spanish until I started going to school and watching TV. And that's how you learn.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. TV, for that's sure. All the TV shows. The
yeah, Coca told me, like, TV. And that's my... The same... consejo?
Advice.
Advice to my mom and my brothers in Mexico. Like, how do you get English that fast? Like, just put the captions in English.
Yeah.
Just do that. And little by little, you're going to get it. You're not in a rush. I was in a rush at that time. Mm-mm. I had to, but if you're not in a rush, if you're not considering to move to the U.S., but you want to speak English, just do it, but now.
Yeah, and now he provides a really cool service. Like, he's working at a different place, and sometimes people, like, there is some people that don't speak English, and he helps them out. So, I just love that. First, of course, it has to do that we're in Austin, and people are really open and friendly, and they want to learn, and they're very receptive. So that helps a lot. I don't think it would be the same somewhere else. But yeah, like other than that, like, yeah, people want to learn and people want to be there and be part of the conversation.
Totally. Okay, so let's talk about what you brought me today. Aww. And usually we talk about it at the beginning, but you brought me some elote en vaso. ¿Cómo se dice? ¿Esquite? How do they say it?
No, esquite es en DF o más al sur. En Monterrey, de donde depending, yo soy.
Okay, ¿cómo se dice from
elote
where you
are? Elote nomás.
Elote, right?
Esquite en vaso. El esquite, la diferencia. The difference with esquite, it's tiene mucha agua.
Oh, le dejan el jugo,
Y es, es sazonado con epazote, trae hierbas. Y elote es solamente...
Esto es crema, mayonesa.
Crema, mayonesa.
Chile, y yo creo, pero don't quote me on that, creo que el secreto de este lugar es que le ponen queso parmesano.
No estoy
segura, pero parmesan. Tiene algo... Y yo, híjole, sabe súper bueno. Salud.
Yes. ¿Cómo se llama este lugar?
FNF Fruit Cups. Es lo mejor que hay aquí en Austin. Porque Austin no tiene cosas tan auténticas.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on it. Pero esto es de los lugares más auténticos que he probado. Y sí, está con
What is bueno. Let's get into that. What is a couple of your favorite restaurants that you love here?
Okay. There is one, Dos Vatos. They have tacos just like Monterrey. And I haven't tried any tacos like that here in Austin.
What's Monterrey style?
It's like carne asada, but I don't know why it tastes different. I wish I knew so that I could make it at home.
They put different, they cook it different?
Yes, I think it's con leña.
Como en Sonora también.
Dos Vatos it's kind of, Sonora and Monterrey, they're similar.
Tortilla de harina delgadita es importantísimo.
Sí.
Aguacatito, queso, Y la carne.
Y la carne asada over wood, like mesquite wood.
Sí, yo creo que sí.
I think so, yeah.
Wood fire tacos. It's their slogan is wood fire tacos.
Dos vatos.
¿Sabes eso? Taco more, también es súper rico. Mm-hmm. Unas buenas flautas. Ay, qué rico.
Let's go right now.
El taquito, which is el restaurante donde yo toco. My favorite there is street tacos, like the mini taquitos.
Al pastor.
Oh my God, can we talk about that tamal place we had the other day?
God, it was so good.
Tamales Vital?
Yeah.
Tamales Vital.
Yo no los conocía.
Oh my God, they're on 6th and Comal, I think. The bomb.
Delicious.
The one que me diste tú que tenía...
Pescado y chapulines.
Yes.
I know.
I never had a tamal like that.
Me neither. We were just talking and they told me that they were entering into a contest like for different food. And I sounded so excited that they were...
they're like, try it.
They let me try their tamal. And they were like, but are you sure we're working on the...
They say this is a prototype.
We're not too sure, but do you really want? And I was like, yes, please. And it was delicious. It had fish and hierba santa. Delicioso. Yo nunca había probado eso. Delicioso. That I'm obsessed with that place.
We should go right now. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, bye.
See ya. No, those have to be some of my favorite tamales ever.
Yes,
that I've ever
me
had
too.
In my life.
Yeah.
They're so
probably
good.
It was so soft and...
Yeah. The consistency was great, and los que tenían, unos tenían mole, like there were different styles, which I liked.
Rajas con queso,
mi
favorito.
Those were so good.
Very good.
What else? We love it.
Mi trailita.
Oh, mi trailita.
¿Dónde está esa? Mi trailita.
Mi trailita está en Maynor.
It's okay. I'll edit this.
Google it.
Google it, locas. Google it, locas.
It's funny. They have 5 stars.
On Yelp.
And Yelp.
Yeah.
And mi trailita.
Yeah.
With
so
the
good.
Saget.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, don't take me wrong. It's not even a fancy restaurant has 5 stars. Mi trailita beats them.
And another place, it's not Mexican, but we love it still. The Dominican. It's so good.
Where is that?
Right now, it's a trailer and they're at 7th, East 7th. It's dough like... Dough, because they make empanadas.
It's a mush.
Dominican.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, my accent. I don't know how to pronounce
I like
those
that.
Differences.
Okay, we got to try
so
that too. I only
delicious.
Have like 2 days left here. I got a lot
we'll
to
just
eat.
Eat tomorrow.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Day.
Mañana todo el día. Okay, so here, let me ask you this.
Okay.
¿Por qué la gente aquí le gusta comer afuera? Like, como en un corral. Like,
no tengo
like, I don't understand
idea.
That.
No, yo tampoco.
There's, I like that.
You like to eat outside?
No,
why?
No
maybe in the winter it's nice.
Yeah.
Pero ahorita?
I mean, yo soy solar.
como
dices que soy solar, como la...
solar?
Like a solar cell. I work with sun. I don't know.
Yeah.
My best guess is people like to drink a lot. And when you're out, you have an excuse to drink
like a picnic kind of
thing.
Okay.
But it's insane because like it could rain like a day. And then if the next day it's sunny, people go out as if they were in a cage for years. Like everyone's out and just enjoying the sun, which is pretty nice, I guess. But it's freaking hot.
It's the culture here for sure.
Yeah. And also... probably you guys seen like people they don't like to wear too much
clothing.
So it's perfect because everybody also apparently they like to be watched.
I see.
Yeah, so, people go out and jog
like,
or whatever.
Nice t-shirt, like your shoes. Oh, nice this. Nice. Networking, I assume, and.
Oh, so, yeah, totally.
That's a different
a lot of Instagram moments.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, Coca Greñas, thank you so much for being on Latinos Who Lunch. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So honored. Like, I'm a big fan.
Oh,
and
my
remember
God.
Remember when the first day I met you, like, you came to for something for and I was like, hi, I'm a big fan. And you were like, what?
I said,
man, and I
was like, of what?
Exactly, I remember that, and I was more confused that everybody like, wait, what?
Who is it?
And then I was like, of what my art or what? Or my podcast?
Both.
And you're like, both. Like, okay, I'm hanging out with them. That's so funny.
Yeah, but
funny.
We were like, what?
No, yeah, thank you for having us. Like, oh. It's so good. And as I was telling you before, like, I enjoy this podcast so much. It's so... such a smart and stupid conversation.
Yes!
That I love it. I learn, and at the same time, I laugh a lot. Oh. And I really appreciate you guys doing this for all Latinos.
Oh my gosh.
We needed a voice like that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll post links on our website with all of your social media handles and where they can find you. Remember, if you need a DJ, Greñas is available. I'll put his info on latinoswithlunch.com.
Yeah, and we travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're willing to travel.
Yes. Yeah, we don't have kids. We don't have... we have a cat. Aww. Yeah, we can find somebody to...
Put the food on a timer.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, aww. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Woo! Awkward clap. Okay.
It could be something like
Coca y Greñas, I miss you. Thank you for the elote. Thank you for showing me all the places. Oh my god, the tamales we ate with them. Oh,
we hit it off as soon as we met Coca. It's like, oh, we're best friends. Like,
yeah,
I love them, and I can't wait for them to come and visit. So
we're
going to
get
them
here. We're going to get Greñas to DJ
our 2-year anniversary.
Yes! Okay, it's going to be so good.
It's going to be
so
lit.
Thank you, and shout out to all of our friends from Austin, Texas. Michael Anthony Garcia, Mario, Elier, so many people.
Yes.
So many people, so many faces. Alma, Somar ATX. Oh,
Sobremesa Podcast.
Oh, Anna. Oh, our friend Miguel that came all the way from Dallas.
Yes. Oh, who got me the best shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Damn, girl, they're bringing you shirts and everything. So, excuse me. Yeah. That's going to end our Austin, Texas chapter.
That's it. I'm sad too. Yeah.
We're just going to have to go back.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
So we're back being happy again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So now we have a special interview. I have a friend that I went to grad school with. I'm not going to give his full name, Fito, but we receive a message from a listener.
Yeah. Shout out to Honduran Food, who has been following us for a very long time. And, she messaged me and said, hey, you know, nobody's really talking about what's happening in Honduras right now. The media is not even paying attention. What's going on? Can you guys talk about it on your podcast? And we did a little bit last time on the Mordida that just came out. But we thought we would call our friend Fito and see what's up.
Yes. So he's telling us everything that is going on in detail. I talked to him for 20 minutes. But before we go into him, I'm going to put a couple of links. But also, don't forget to go to Latino Rebels website, because they have a detailed account of everything that is happening in Honduras. And it's important for us to find out what is happening, because the media tends to just over-exoticize and over... I don't know, like, make it more violent than it actually is. People are resisting, people are protesting, and it's not just about people looting. So get informed. We are con todos nuestros amigos centroamericanos y hondureños, and enjoy this mini interview. Toodaloo, 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 toodaloo.
Hola.
¿Qué pajón, Fito? ¿Cómo estás?
I'm good. You're just like working a bunch. It's crazy because, you know, when I was a grad student back in the States, I would have much more time to follow the situation, the politics. Now I'm here, back in Honduras, working at an institution, directing an institution. I have much less time to read the sources and have conversations. And also, it's a weird environment. But, you know, like recently it has opened up a bunch because the current government, it's so much like a dictatorship, and then so, people
So why don't we start? Because I remember we started this conversation back in 2008, 2009 about the coup d'état. So we don't have a lot of time, but you can tell us a little bit about how this military regime started back in 2008, and then tell us a little bit about the current situation. And one of the reasons why we're doing this, Fito, is because we have listeners that are worried that what's happening in Honduras, it's not being played enough in the media. So the fact that we are really good friends, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to bring Fito into Latinos Who Lunch. So tell us a little bit about what happened with the coup d'etat, and then how does that connect with what's happening right now?
Well, you know, back in 2009, it was the last year for the government of Manuel Zelaya, which was a president that entered the presidency as a liberal presidency. We have like a two-party structure, basically, in Honduras, kind of like in the U.S., where you have conservatives and Democrats. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two things, Republicans and Democrats. And then, I'm sorry to be, I should remember.
This is Latinos Who Lunch. It's a safe space. You can say whatever you want.
Totally irreverent. So back to 2009, and then we have the National Party, or they're called Nacionalistas, which mean we're nationalistic, we care for the nation, which is really contradictory, because what they really stand for is neoliberalism, which tends to erase the nation, weaken the government, so transnational capital can do whatever they need to do. You know, it's like the old liberalism premise of the 19th century, laissez-faire, laissez-passer. Mm-hmm. It's only like exacerbated at this point. And then you have the Liberal Party, which is called Liberal, and it's interesting because they tend to have more social programs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, it's thought to be like that, but
there's always corruption in every level. Yeah,
yeah. Now there's many more, but we're going to talk about that when we talk about the current election. But at the time, Zelaya entered the government as a liberal president and
democratically, right?
Yeah, democratically, uh-huh, through an election. Though, you know, there's a tradition of fraudulent, like rigged elections.
Like in every Latin American country, yes.
Interesting to say that we choose our presidents by election starting 1982. I mean, there was elections before, but there was like so many coup d'etats and so regimes that, you know, it's a really dark history of how people arrive at government.
Yeah.
And so this guy came in through an election, and then during his period, he started doing social programs like for single mothers, for kids to go to school. It wasn't probably systematic because he didn't have money.
And of course, the conservatives didn't like that.
Yeah, no, they said, you know, like he's using national monies to give it to bums and people who don't deserve it. And stuff.
Ugh, horrible.
The discourse is just outrageous. And I actually have, and I'm going to be mean here, I have a chat from my old high school classmates where, you know, like it's enough to make a study on Honduran right-wing ideology. And it's really interesting. And if I can keep them anonymous, yes, then we could write a paper or have a conversation about ideology, how things are interpreted in a really misleading, demeaning, and ignorant, basically ignorant and stupid way.
Ugh.
And so this guy started having like social programs, and then he started like coming up in pictures with Chavez and Hugo Chavez and Evo Morales and...
Oh, God forbid, right?
And all those people that, you know, they're like the bad guys, the axis of evil, President Bush W called them, right? And then, so at the, you know, the last period when we're going towards elections, he wanted to include in the vote a question whether people wanted to have a convention, a constitutional, a revision of the constitution.
Okay. Oh, and that was a reason.
It was non-binding.
Uh-huh.
It was non-binding, and then people said, "Oh, but no, it's in tiny letters, and if they vote automatically, that's gonna like dissolve the Congress, and this is really dangerous, and this would make us go. It's gonna make us into a Venezuela or Cuba or Cuba, and stuff like that." And so they kidnapped him. Mm-hmm. At 5 a.m. in the morning.
You mean the military?
The military, yeah.
Yes.
Backed by the U.S., Hillary Clinton was a big player in this whole scheme.
Of course, yes.
Then they kidnap him. They take him to the American military base in Palmerola, which is in central Honduras.
Oh.
And it's super strategic for military intervention in not only Central America, but also the whole Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, he's given declarations in Costa Rica of how he's being kidnapped, and this like,
wow,
that, you know, like a huge turmoil. This led into a huge turmoil, and many things happened. You know, there's a whole and this crisis we have right now. It's like kind of like that, maybe even worse. Though there's like many interest. I shouldn't use the word interesting because it's. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of instability. There's a lot of like uncertainty about how things are going to turn out in the end.
And what is interesting is that how you mentioned how things played out in the original coup d'état. It's something that you don't hear here in the States. You just the rhetoric that you hear in the States about Latin American crisis. It's always about how they're out of control and they cannot take care of their own governments. However, when you actually see what happens, which is the history of Latin America, right? Like there's always this, think about Chile, think about Argentina, think about other places, how there's this military regimes that are backed by the United States, but we never get that version. We only get that version that continues to portray Latin America as this place full of savages that cannot rule each other. So I'm very glad that you're telling us these details here for the audience of Latinos Who Lunch.
That's really interesting, you know, like it goes back to Jefferson to say that people in Latin America don't know how to rule themselves.
Girl, it goes back to the Spanish making up so much shit about us. Oh, no.
No, and then there's a, you know, like Honduran state probably doesn't have enough money to get all the weapons and militarize so much.
Correct.
It is legal for any Honduran for Hondurans to have as many as 5 fire weapons. That's a big business, and the militarization of Honduras there's a lot of U.S. money involved, and there's
like everywhere else in Latin America, it's crazy,
and it probably means, you know, like your tax money is being used to bully populations around if they oppose a government that favors U.S. policy.
Stay woke, people. Stay woke. Yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, it enforces militarization, it impoverishes education, so people cannot have enough, you know, access to information or processes of cognition and development of opinion are inhibited in many different ways.
Wow.
And so that crisis, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no! I just wanted to see for you to fast forward to what's happening to today. So the militarization of the government continues since 2009, and then you guys, from what I understand, again because there's not a lot of information here, you guys just had elections and to hopefully democratically choose a new government, right?
Yeah, you know, I'll start remembering that I went to a Halloween party back in Albuquerque. And I met this guy from Holland, and he said, "Where are you from?" I said, "From Honduras." And he said, "Like, wait, that's not a democracy, right?" And
damn,
you know, I hated that guy. I wanted to punch him. I don't punch people though.
I know you don't. I know.
It's hard, but we're not a democracy because we don't have a transparent electoral process.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that coup d'etat in 2009, we went to an election and it was militarized. And even foreign media was like violent, with guns and beatings and stuff. And then we had an election again in 2013. Mm-hmm. And again, it was a militarized process.
And nothing corrupt. Happened. Uh-huh.
And this is what brought this Juan Orlando Hernandez, the current president, to power. And now we're having yet another election. And we voted on Sunday, November the 26th. The Thanksgiving weekend, I think it was the Thanksgiving weekend, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
No, maybe, yeah. It was 10 days ago, and we still don't know who won the election.
And
so once you have a situation like that, that's very fucked up.
Yeah, and it's a dictatorship. So tell me a little bit more about what's happening right now, because of course, once you have people protesting, that translates into American media. It's violence on the streets and pray for Honduras. But I know things are a lot more complicated. I know there's a curfew happening right now. Tell us a little bit more what's happening within Honduras and about the discontent of the people. Because, again, they are protesting against a dictatorship.
Yes. Well, it's really hard to account for all what's happened in a week. It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I had an outline. There's reports, and actually there are some coverage by foreign media. The New York Times has interesting articles. You can look at the articles of at the New York Times on Juan Orlando Hernandez.
I'll link
also The Guardian.
I'll link all those articles to our website so people are more informed.
Yeah, there's rich reports. The Guardian has, you know, and more like more The Nation has a report, and there's many different notes from many different sources, actually internationally. Mm-hmm. And so we have that vote, and they're supposed to. We went peacefully. There's no violence. Mm-hmm. Everyone went about their business, and they did their vote. We voted for president. We voted for Congress. We voted for mayors too. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, the same Sunday, they say who the winner is, who is the president, and so on. And so it was like really reluctant to say what's going on. And they there is a tribunal,
uh-huh.
Electoral tribunal, which is not independent because it's people from the national party. The president to the election tribunal has been a member of the president's party and has run for Congress before.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not a really, and I should mention, you know, for before I forget, there's reports from the OEA, Organization of American States, and there's a report of observers from the European Union who has Marisa Matias as leader, and they're being really bold. And those reports are there. We'll go back to them probably.
Yeah.
It's really important that this is an intensely observed election because the president overrided the constitution, which prohibits re-election, and he fired as president. He aligned all the powers of the state towards his favor, and he fired the justice of the Supreme Court. And he left only one, but new people, and that court accepted for re-election. And so he was able to inscribe himself for the first time in Honduran history for re-election.
And that's a dictatorship right there.
Yes, thank you. That's a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they announced they have accounted for 50, that Sunday, the 26th, they say we have counted 57%, and there's Salvador Nasralla, who is the presidential candidate of a coalition made of Libre and two or three different parties.
Mm-hmm.
And
to oppose the dictatorship.
It's a coalition made specially to oppose the dictatorship, okay. And that's his name.
Uh-huh.
Alianza de Oposición contra la Dictadura.
Oh,
and
okay.
So, like, I don't know what time that evening the system of the electoral tribunal goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And that cannot really happen. I mean, the election costs like $10 million, and they also didn't have enough big hard drive to keep all the information, so they have to like shift drives and shit like that. And so you really wonder. And so to make things short, mm-hmm. by now, in terms of the election, by now, the international observers have demanded a recount. And they're going to recount a third of the tallies. And now they're demanding for a complete recount.
And in the
tally by tally.
And in the meantime, yeah. till they finish the recount, what's happening in the streets? Because we want to hear from you. I mean, we only have a couple of minutes, but we want to hear from you because there's all these misconceptions about what's happening in Honduras. You just went to work and you go to work every day. I think the only difference is that there's a curfew, right?
Okay, yeah, there's a curfew. I'm not going to go in a chronological order. I'm just going to... There's different things happening. There's people banging pans every night at 9 p.m.
Wow.
To say they want the president out.
Wow.
And so you can hear
that's awesome.
At every neighborhood that they want him out.
So people go out in the streets with pans and they start banging them?
In that way, they disobey the curfew.
The curfew from their house, yeah.
Yeah, they go out of their house and they walk around the street with pots and they're banging and they literally ask the president to step down.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's really powerful. And then you have people who go out in demonstrations by the thousands outside in the street during daylight.
Mm-hmm.
You have on December 1st. I don't remember what day it was. I say I'm having a hard time remember the whole order of things. There's mm-hmm. a lot of like
different
breaking
events.
Into like vandalism. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of vandalism, but it's there's no proof that the political opposition is doing that. It's simply the maras. It's simply just like criminals who, you know, in terms in they take advantage of the general chaos. And they go and they break into and set fire banks and city halls and commercial centers and malls.
And those are the events that national media here in the States are concentrating. Not everything else that you said, people protesting peacefully, people banging yeah. on pans, like that's social disobedience. It's people are resisting, yeah. and instead we get just the dark side of the whole thing because of course it's super super complicated. Listen, Fito, we are running out of time, but I just wanted to thank you because I know it's a difficult week for you y para todos los hondureños, and I'm very happy that we got to talk to you. We hope nothing but the best for this nation. We have a lot of friends and family in Central America and Honduras as well. And I am, we're very thankful that you were able to gift us with true information about what's happening over there.
No, it's wonderful to be in your show in Latinos for Lunch, and it's wonderful to chat. There's so much more to talk about, and we can be in contact. Abrazos, gracias por la oportunidad de conversar. Te quiero mucho, amigo, que estés muy bien.
Yo también, amigo, te quiero mucho. Después te marco, ¿ok?
Ok, chaito.
Cuídate, hasta luego.
Tírale, 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 tírale.
And we're back.
¿Cuántos tiddlers en este episodio?
So many transitions. People can barely keep up. You know, people are going to be sick of us.
That's all right.
Because we're like coming out with so many episodes, but... You know, we're here. We're content creators.
We're media influencers.
Oh, my God.
Ni te la crees tú, güey.
Obvio que no. Oh, my God. Qué desorden.
Yo. That's what Fito says all the time.
Qué desorden. Qué desorden. Shout out to Fito.
Yes.
He's so cool.
He's amazing.
Thank you, Fito, for calling Latinos for Lunch and having that conversation with Babelito. That was awesome.
And thank you also because he Skyped to my class last week and he did this whole entire thing about Honduran art. So hopefully we get to bring you back to Vegas because he was here a long time ago. So he needs to visit us again.
Yeah. And again, Babelito is going to put the links on our website, latinoswholunch.com. Mm-hmm. Go under episodes, episode 50, and you can find out all about Honduras and how to help there.
Yes.
Stay informed, people.
Stay woke.
Oh, okay. So
estamos cansados.
I know, yes. I know. But we got to do recommendations. Do you have anything? No, you don't, bitch.
No, my recommendation is to go to Latino Rebels.
Oh, yes. That's good. That's
my
good.
My recommendation is to go to Latino Rebels and stay informed. What we get in media here in the United States when it comes to Latin America is informed by imperialism. And we have to be aware of that. So when you hear that such and such country in Latin America is a mess, there's a reason why that's the rhetoric that people are putting, that the media is putting out there. So get informed before you judge. Get informed before you talk to your family and get into stupid fights and really educate everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's been a hell of a week, Pavelito.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we only have a few more days left of the year.
Qué triste.
But I'm really excited because we have a lot of great episodes coming up.
Yes. Yeah. We have some inspiring episodes coming out. I can't wait to.
So.
For everybody to listen.
I hope everybody's not sick of us yet because we have a lot of shit coming out. But I really enjoy doing Latinos Who Lunch. So thank you to all the listeners. We see you. We hear you. We read your emails. We just got a really beautiful email the other day. You can always email us at latinoswholunch@gmail.com. Believe it or not, that keeps me going because, you know, we do this basically for free.
Yes.
Right now. hopefully that will change soon. But you know, your reviews and your messages really do mean a lot. So thank you to everybody that's been supportive, and we've gotten to meet so many awesome people through our travels and just, you know, being out and about that listen to us.
And push us. Like the fact that we had a listener and said, you need to talk about this. Like, this is important. This is what's going on. We appreciate that. That's part of the dialogue that we have to establish, that we want to establish with everybody. And we know who you are. We know who's following us. Like, we see you. So thank you again.
And as always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. Go on Apple Podcasts and rate us 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is...
essential.
I'm Fabi Fab.
And I'm Babelito.
Say it louder.
And I'm Babelito.
Yes!
Bye!
Ciao.